Welcome back to another episode of Ceasefire Podcast. This is it. This is episode number 10. We made it to double digits, and we are talking about the TikTok hypocrisy. What on earth? What are we? We're calling people hypocrites. Maybe we're calling ourselves hypocrites.
All the above.
Everyone's a hypocrite. Thanks for unsubscribing immediately and getting angry at us. No, we would love for you to engage with our content.
Get angry at us.
Engage with our content at a deeper level at ceasefirepodcast.com. That's the Patreon. That's where all of the extra goodies go. If you're listening to this part's free. It hits everywhere. Audio versions, YouTube, elsewhere. It actually even goes on Patreon. So we'd love to see you over there, ceasefirepodcast.com. There should be links below in descriptions. But with that out of the way, I want to explain why we picked this title. We have a piece of media we're going to be reacting to. I'm going to look to Andrew for the official title and YouTube channel name because my screens are so full, I don't have room for it now. I forget the name of it, so you'll need to help me with that when it comes time. And then we'll link below.
Fair enough. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. I'm not just you know, on the show. I'm production. I got like 18 screens open so we can have everything going. So before, and he's watching it right now. Before we get into the episode, I want to explain why we call it the TikTok hypocrisy, because I think people get really self-righteous about these social media sites and, oh, I'm going to leave Twitter because of Elon, or I'm going to leave this platform. You know, everybody left Facebook because of issues with them using user info and, you know, political meddling. And now the big thing is get off of TikTok. It's owned by China and they're spying on you and they ignore the users. You know, when the user says, hey, don't track my stuff, they do it anyway. And I feel like we all have some level of hypocrisy with all these platforms because we're all willingly letting them gather information, spy on us. You've got an Alexa in your home. It's listening to you, right? It's tracking data. It's creepy how you'll be talking about something with your friend or your spouse, and all of a sudden you start seeing ads for it. I think we get a little self-righteous, and we get a little hypocritical about these things. And I'm including myself in that. Ceasefire Podcast has a TikTok. I have a TikTok for my gaming stuff. It's really effective to, you know, get a lot of views and clicks and links like out there.
Clicks and licks.
That's woohoo! That's not the kind of
new site. new name of the episode. Clicks and licks. Yeah, Ceasefire episode 10.
Clicks and licks. Golly. Gee, many Christmas. All right.
Oh, we could go so far with running with what just happened, but we're going to stay on topic.
And we're going to leave it in. We don't edit anything out in post. That just stays in.
Clicks and licks.
So once we stop laughing at that.
Oh, man.
Andrew, why'd you?
I'm using that forever. That's like the goal of my life, bro.
You picked this video. You picked this video. You're the reason I said that, and you're the reason we're talking about this. Why did you pick this video? Why'd you pick this topic?
This is the best episode we've ever done already.
It's already shut it down. End on a high note.
Yeah, retiring right now. Why did I pick this video? Okay, let's talk about it. With everything that's going on currently in the mainstream news, and again, we don't post these episodes immediately after we record them, so there is some lag. When choosing reaction content, when choosing content that is related to the news cycle, we have to think about this. So Lucas and I talk about, okay, we have to choose reaction content and or news items that aren't going to age themselves out in a week. This TikTok thing has been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's coming to fruition as of this recording, at least in America, to date at least. In Congress at the moment, they voted unanimously a couple of days ago as of this recording. I just pulled up an article on CBS. The Senate unanimously approved a measure Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, that would ban federal employees from using TikTok on all government devices. Move made out of security concerns of the app and its Chinese-owned parent company, ByteDance. That's big. Like, yep. Really big.
Yeah.
That's the first time a social media platform company has had any sort of real legislation passed regarding its usage. Banned for government employees. Mm-hmm. Crazy. That means there's something to this. Everybody has been crying that TikTok is spyware or a spying app, that they, you know, take liberties with data. And the video we chose is basically just a synopsis of the public outcry against it, which is, again, crescendoing, getting worse or getting more prominent, especially because the government now is you know, and that will mean the media and everybody else in a trickle-down effect will turn on TikTok domestically.
Yeah.
And yeah, we want to look at the hypocrisy of it. We want to look at the ramifications of it and hopefully move anyone within earshot here to think a little bit more about their relationship with social media and with this actual app. So yeah, we chose a couple of guys who comment primarily. The name of their channel is China Fact Chasers. And the name of the video we're going to be reacting to is an 8 minute plus clip called China is Spying on You. Maybe it's time to delete TikTok. And it's a few months old. It's like 5 months old. But I like this one because these guys seem to have their heads screwed on right. And they're just going in bullet points. They're basically giving us the gist of the matter without going too deep into detail. And I felt like it was just, as soon as I started hearing these guys talk, I felt like they were, oh, okay, these guys are close to what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
On Ceasefire.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like reacting to this kind of content. So obviously those that are watching, wherever you're watching, you can comment below. If you're listening or watching, I think like on Spotify and stuff, I don't necessarily know if you can leave comments, but if you're watching on YouTube or you're on our Patreon, man, leave a comment below. You're like, you guys got to check this video out or this person out. We're all about that. Let me get us in the right scene here. Let's just take a look at this and let me know if you can or cannot hear it, Andrew. We have to do like a screen sharing thing so he can hear and see what I'm hearing and seeing. Let's listen into what they have to say here about this subject.
TikTok has admitted, they have admitted that Chinese employees can have access to U.S. data, U.S. That's users' right. data.
Yes.
Okay.
So the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission,
yeah,
they were actually calling that TikTok a spy app, more or less, mm-hmm. right? And this was a thing. It was one thing to say, oh, TikTok is a bad influence. There's this kind of like weird boomer logic. Oh, TikTok bad, so ban it.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong attitude to have sure. in my mind. I mean, I personally think it's actually really horrible mm-hmm. for the future of mankind. Like this type of fast food type yep. of media. But that's... Yep. that's.
Okay, let's comment there.
Yeah.
Okay, remember, this is 5-6 months old. So due to external pressure, TikTok was forced to admit, yeah, okay, we do a little spying, but it's harmless. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pieces of dialogue that's been central to this quote-unquote controversy is they keep saying they're going to move America's data over to America so that the good folks in China don't have access to it anymore, right? So that's been on the table. Fast forward 5-6 months, now we're banning it, and nothing has changed on that front. In fact, Michael Beckerman, TikTok's head of publicity, public policy for the Americas, told CBS this week, again, this is just from the article that I pulled up, that the concern is overstated and, quote, makes for good politics. He said TikTok collects less data than other social media apps and is working to move user data to servers in the U.S. out of reach of China. So they haven't done anything with moving the data.
Okay.
Even since 6 months ago, they were basically called out, forced to admit publicly that, yeah, we spy. But we're going to change. And they haven't done anything to change.
Hmm.
So that's where we're at.
Okay.
They also mentioned in the video that, and we should discuss this, overall, and we should really talk about this in the next segment a little more deeply. But overall, here are some reasons why this is bad. Not just the spying element, but TikTok in general. And that's what I would like to reflect on a little as well. This, and I know you have a lot to say on it because the world is moving in this direction.
Yeah.
I watched a piece of media that you did recently on gaming and how the McDonald's sort of bite-sized approach to consuming media is ultimately really, really bad for us as individuals, mm-hmm. Speaking in terms of mental health, etc.
Yep.
And also bad for us as society.
Yeah.
And that's what these guys are basically saying as well. This type of content is, well, I'll let you comment on it, but I'll throw out a couple adjectives. Mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Reducing us to a state of idiocracy, if you've seen that film.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, it's really challenging. I was literally just talking about this morning with like my pastor, because like short form content is exploding.
Exploding.
And YouTube overtook TikTok, which is insane to even say.
That's crazy.
And then and then YouTube's going to start monetizing it in February. So obviously my producer and I have been looking at this, and we have all of our channels get it's called a YouTube short, or you may have seen shorts. Same thing, a minute or less. And the most effective content is 15 seconds or less, to the point that I get accused of sounding like Ben Shapiro in some of mine, because I have them playing slightly faster at like a 1.2 because I can squeeze more in. And I talk relatively quickly as it is. And we use it as a means of, here's a really nice highlight preview showcase of what I do on my show. And I've been doing the same thing with Ceasefire. I grab what I think is a really great clip or section where we say something, and then I throw it out there, hoping that that kind of is getting people to be like, hey, I'd like to hear more from these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the dilemma is, am I contributing to or jumping into a pool of frivolity or just absolute dilution of thought? You know, no one's being thoughtful or thinking through. Because I've noticed, I went through this on in the gaming world. I had a long form video about a particular thing in Call of Duty, and I got really thoughtful, really good comments. People were being supportive, like, hey, I agree with you. I had a short on the same subject, and I got nothing but hate and vitriol. And to me, it's almost as if the funnels of users are dramatically different. The short form, the drive-by, the soundbite culture, ay, ay, ay. I tend to agree with him. I have concerns as a content creator that this will have a cannibalistic effect on the types of content that people want to consume. The silver lining in all of this, I keep telling myself as someone who loves to do podcasting, is that podcasts are still in such great demand, and people seem to love long-form content at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think both of these mediums can coexist, but I worry that one will overtake the other as time goes on, because in 20 years, you'll have a generational shift where people have grown accustomed to, well, this is the kind of content that I consume. I no longer want to consume anything that's longer than a minute. It feels like it's an inconvenience. So it's concerning. I'm going to let the video continue, because we've barely let these gentlemen talk, but I thought what he said was kind of on the money. It seems to pose a danger. We've already seen social media affect people's ability to think critically and to tribe up and to insulate. And short form content, I think, is the next wave of making us very thoughtless in an age of infinite information. It's almost like we're becoming less thoughtful, which is just...
That's ironic, isn't it?
It's not just ironic, it's sad at the same time. What a waste, it seems, to be so...
Well, it's almost as if, and we're old enough to sound like old dudes now, and also to remember a time when we didn't have unlimited access to whatever information that we wanted at any point in time, at any given moment.
Right.
Of any day, right? Yep. It was almost as if, and entertainment culture echoes this as well, back when we had to hunt, dig, work to find information, we valued the information more, and we actually became smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we did research and we had to dig to find stuff, we ended up with a lot of context for the information that we were searching for as well.
Right.
And our brains, our critical thinking lobes, had to be engaged in the process as well. Now, information comes so cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
And so easily,
yep.
It's almost as if we don't we don't value it at all. So there's a faux intellectualism that has arisen, especially among those who have only grown up with unlimited access to information.
Yep.
That's a whole nother podcast. Let's keep watching.
Right. Let's check out what they got to say.
It's not a, it's neither here, it's here not an there. Issue of banning. Like, sure. It's if we live in a free country, right? Yeah. You don't ban something for that. So yeah. Get that out of your head. But anyway, there was actually concerns and investigations going on about how much China had to do with TikTok. So they said, oh, we don't keep any user data in our country. Oh, it turns out we do. Yeah. Oh, but we don't have access to it, right? Yeah. Oh, American operations actually oversee everything, so don't worry about it. So everyone was, even me, included, kind of placated. Slightly placated.
I never was.
I never thought it was not a risk, but sure. At least there were things that actually happened. I spoke to people at TikTok. Mm-hmm. There were things done to mitigate some of the damage / moves operations to America. Mm-hmm. And that it placated me to a certain extent because the ball was rolling in the right sure. direction. The issue that I had was they're still wide open. It's opaque, right? Yeah. China doesn't actually tell you what they're doing with it. And so what happened?
Well, basically, it turned out that there was a leaked internal recording of a discussion or whatever, where it turns out that people in China, so the employees in China have had access and have been accessing American users' data for some time.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, they want to find out anything about the person, including all their personal details, their private details. And, you know, you have to also understand that the way TikTok works is when you shoot a video and stuff, there's geocaching involved in there. Mm-hmm. So they can find out your location, your full recording. Of course, the apps on your phone, it has access to your has access to your microphone, has access to your camera and all that stuff. So theoretically, they could access that too. Yep. It is possible.
Yep.
And of course, all your surroundings, your face, your everything you say and do on TikTok can be accessed. Pretty much anything you say and do on your phone while the app is open
can be
well.
Used against you in a court of an app of China.
So anyway, the fact of the matter is, you know, they didn't say why they were accessing this data, but you have to understand that China does this with their normal apps.
Yeah.
If there's a Uyghur human rights activist, they will then go and access their WeChat data to find out all the conversations they've been having. They'll find out their location history. They'll go and find out their family members, and they'll go and arrest their family members and stuff because that's what they do. So let's just say you've got a...
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about that a minute. I did a little research on something that maybe folks aren't completely aware of as I was engaging with this video. The first thing I want to mention, though, is TikTok's... I pulled up the, just so everybody understands the scope of this, because I would imagine that there's at least a percentage of our listeners that don't have TikTok, because TikTok is the primary demographic for TikTok are folks under the age of 30, right? Mm-hmm. It's a younger person's application. And I wanted to just go over some numbers and then get into why I wanted to pause the video right there. Right now, at least as of this fall, TikTok has 1 billion active users, and they're the third largest monthly active user base. They have the third largest monthly active user base among the social media apps. Facebook, 2.1 billion, Instagram, 1.3 billion. And we know that Instagram and Facebook are one and the same, owned by the same company. TikTok comes in right under them. It's 755 million. Active users. Okay, so it's huge. And the demographics, just so everybody understands, 67% of the users are between the ages of 13 and 18. So really big among younger folks. Let's see here. Percentage of U.S. adults, 18 to 29, 48% of 18 to 29 U.S. residents have TikTok installed. 30 to 49, 22%, 50 to 64, 14%, and 65 and over 4%. Okay, so the older the folks get, the less people use TikTok.
Sure, yeah.
But it's still, the numbers are massive.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was researching, though, prior to hopping on here. So Chinese society, as most of us are aware, is structured a lot differently than in America. And one of the things that they are doing that is of concern especially if their model of civilization becomes more of our model, which there are plenty of people in power who want that. One of the things that's very prominent in their society and becoming increasingly integrated is something called a social credit system. Are you familiar with that at all, Lucas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to boil it all down, they're developing, it's still under development, a means so that every individual in China has a record of data that's basically publicly available that gives them a score when it comes to various aspects of their lives. And the eventual end state of the system is a unified record for people, businesses, and the government, which can be monitored in real time. In other words, the complete eradication of privacy.
Mm.
And they call it trustworthiness, but this is all of the areas of culture and life that this social credit system infiltrates, or your score represents.
Mm-hmm.
Financial creditworthiness,
mm-hmm.
judicial enforcement, commercial trustworthiness, societal trustworthiness, government integrity. And as a sub sort of list, and this is another article I'm looking at here, the high-level goals are to be achieved via three key practical mechanisms: data gathering and sharing, curation of blacklists and red lists, punishments, sanctions, and rewards.
Hmm.
So the end game here is for every piece of information on every individual that resides inside of this specific geographic location and is a part of this citizenry, of this population, is to have every facet of their existence, every decision they make, especially online, to be archived and publicly accessible so that they can do nothing, buy nothing, say nothing without approval from the algorithm, the higher-ups, the state, if that makes sense.
Right.
And this is where the world is moving with data. Because in America, we tend to think, like, we're so inundated with, how could I say this? We are so numb and so apathetic to our freedoms, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even think of the consequences of downloading an app. We don't view anything as a threat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's corruption all around us. And pick a topic. And our attitude is kind of like, meh, who cares? It doesn't affect me. You know what I mean? And I guess the underlying goal here of all of these episodes that we're putting together, especially on subjects that are similar to this, is, well, maybe we do need to care. Mm-hmm. Even though there's an inherent hypocrisy to it. If this model is being applied under our noses in America, shouldn't we be concerned? You know what I mean? And it's not just a TikTok thing.
Yeah.
It's all of it. You know, yeah, you mentioned Alexa. I mean, pick a platform. They're taking our data.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy is more of an illusion at this point. And at what point do we question it? Or is it too late? And have we already accepted that privacy is a thing of the past?
See, the thing...
Kick it back to you.
Yeah. The thing about this, though, that I always get stuck on is the minute you step onto these platforms, you're agreeing that, you know, hey, I'm going into their world and I'm hanging out in their space. It's kind of like when you go...
It's a private company's platform.
Right. It's like going to the store and you'll go walk around an electronic store or something like Best Buy. You're being filmed the entire time, right? Because they have to protect the merchandise. So they, you know, and they're recording that. They're recording your activity and what you're doing. And so I always get stuck on this because it's like if you go on to Twitter and you go to all these places and you're existing on their platform you are surrendering so much just by doing that. The minute you go onto these places and you create an account, you throw your face on there and you start talking about how much you like or dislike certain pastries, like it could be something as innocent as that, they're going to track all that information because you're in their world. And we have so heavily integrated into these digital social spaces that we balk at the idea of, oh, they're tracking my data and they're tracking what I do. And it's like, why wouldn't they? You're on their platform. Like, it, you know what I'm saying? Like, the idea that people are so shocked by this at that level, I'm like, what do you expect Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these platforms to do? You're using their stuff. And in order for them to benefit from you using their stuff, they need to be able to effectively monetize, which comes in tracking your behavior and what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is no one should be surprised that that's what these platforms aim to do. Now, the messiness of everything you just outlined is when you blend the platform knowing everything you're doing and government oversight and overreach. Like, oh, hey, this guy said something we don't like. Let's find him and everyone he knows and incarcerate, kill, or ruin them. And what's funny is people will hear that about China and get really self-righteous, and yet they'll actively take place in cancel culture and mob mentality on Twitter. And it's like, so you don't like it when the government does it, but you think it's totally fine for you to do it. Like, you're cool with the mob publicly executing somebody in the digital space. Like, sure, their head's still attached, but it's metaphorically on the pavement. So, you know, I think the most alarming thing in all of this is how quickly TikTok grew. That's like insect level swarming. Like, that's mindless swarming. I remember watching a video from a guy and he described mob mentality and mob behavior on the internet, like how insects and birds just sort of flock and cobble together and swarm. And they don't do it with a sense of volition and intentionality. They do it because they're just sort of following mindlessly like a drone the group. Mm-hmm. They're just going with the group. And the rate at which TikTok grew is alarming. I'm not alarmed by platforms tracking my information and keeping it and trying to use it to make a buck. That's not new information. Facebook's been in this. They've been in hot water about it, lost a bunch of users because of it. There's no doubt in my mind that Twitter doesn't do it. YouTube does it. They're all doing it. That's not alarming to me. What's alarming to me is the rate at which people will just throw themselves headfirst into a platform and not question anything about it. And to the degree that now we're turning around and saying, well, this is a giant section of the population of the globe that did this. I don't think this will be the last time this happens. I don't. I think there'll be other platforms and other surges of interest that people mindlessly sort of dive headfirst in. I just think that's just such a picture of humanity and what we do.
Statement. I'm glad you went there. Yeah. And what we should talk about in the next segment a little bit is why? Why do people flock to this stuff? What is the carnal, visceral need that is being met?
Yeah.
With these platforms and how did TikTok tap into that need even more intensely than these other platforms? You know, they basically just took it to another level. That's why it grew so fast. And I have some specifics on the why and the how that we can also get into.
Well, look at their logo. It's a music note. Like, it started as a platform with like people doing dances. That's all.
Right.
It was almost like a music, you know, dancing platform, and now I don't even see that anymore on the platform. I don't see people.
It's like a karaoke dance platform.
Yeah, I don't even see that anymore. I don't. So I don't know how much left we have of this. Let's see what else they have to say.
A dissident from China.
We're only 3 minutes into this video.
it's eight minutes long.
Yeah.
So we'll just let it play for a minute.
Yeah, let's let it play for a minute. We may not watch the entire thing. We'll link below if you guys want to support the channel and the video and watch the whole thing. We may not do that because this segment isn't supposed to be super long. Our flyover opening segment's not meant to be super long. We're already at 30 minutes.
Who ran away from the Tiananmen Square massacre or something, living in the U.S., and his daughter now has TikTok.
Yeah.
They would access that information because they want to find out where they live, you know, what's going on.
It goes way more than that, though, because it's big data stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's the access market trends. It's the access location likes, dislikes.
Yeah, of course, movements, all of that too.
All that stuff.
Just saying, like, the fact of the matter is, in people sitting in the ByteDance headquarters in China, Chinese people, which ByteDance, by the way, is fully controlled by the Chinese government in China, has 100%. To answer 100% to them.
Don't ever let anyone tell you differently.
They are. They answer directly to the CCP. Yep. Yeah. You have to if you're a tech company in China, especially a Chinese one. They've been accessing US user data for a long, long time.
Correct.
So now, because this leaked thing went out there and it started to ruffle some feathers, TikTok had to release a formal statement. And they said, yes, they do access. But don't worry, there's a whole lot of checkboxes that they have to go through first. Internal checkboxes. What does that mean?
Bullshit.
So basically, oh yeah, we'll let you access the user data, the US user data, if we think you're okay. If number two, you do it on a Wednesday, and third, you are just someone who says that they should access that data.
Now, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Does it now make sense, guys? Do you remember that I was banned off of TikTok for posting anti-CCP videos?
Yeah.
Nothing violent, nothing pornographic,
nope.
No bad language, mm-hmm. Nothing against TOS.
Yeah.
But I was banned permanently for posting anti-CCP
makes
videos.
Sense.
Does it make sense on the American TikTok?
Yeah. Mm, oh, you want to know what's also crazy? Is that the American employees of TikTok cannot access that user data.
Oh, that's like, I had that in the notes.
Yeah.
Very important detail.
Yeah. So if you're working for TikTok here, because of American privacy laws and all that kind of crap, you can't access the user data. But Chinese employees in China can access the US private data.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No.
This company should be shut down.
It's so bad. Like, I've always been on, I err on the side of caution.
It's a freaking knockoff of what
was that? Yeah, musically.
Yeah.
It's a knockoff. It's like people think Douyin invented it. It's not. It was already another app.
Just bring back musically.
Yeah, just bring and base it in
and
the US.
Vine or whatever.
Yeah, bring those and put them back in the US.
Yeah.
You don't need to use a Chinese based company.
No.
The thing.
Elon does want to bring back Vine short form content, and he wants it to be monetized because I know his.
Mm-hmm.
His take on Twitter is obviously not popular with everybody. And I actually think they're making some weird decisions. They just said today they're not going to allow accounts on Twitter to exist that solely promote like other accounts or something like that. Like they're still going to let you say, hey, you guys can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on whatever. But they're, I think they're trying to shut down the whole I'm leaving go follow me on this platform. They're going to start banning people for that. Like he's kind of going a little, I think he's learning that it's really hard to police a platform like that, but he does want to bring back Vine short form content. And he thinks very highly of WeChat. That was the app they mentioned a little bit ago that they use to track all the data of the Chinese people and use it in prosecutions and whatnot. He thinks WeChat as an application is far superior to Twitter and what we typically use. He was sort of praising the tech behind it. So we'll see if any of that ends up happening over here.
The thing that they're so concerned with is that their algorithm is so good
because
of the unfettered access to personal data that they have in China
that
they can't emulate it. No one can emulate the TikTok algorithm. It's too smart.
Yeah.
It actually is. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about that the algorithm.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. The algorithm is incredible. I don't even search for anything, but my feed is so curated to the kind of stuff that I enjoy. It's eerie.
That's the reason why it grew.
Yeah.
So quickly.
Yeah.
Because their algorithm is on a completely different level.
It always feels like a curated dish for you. Like every time it would be like showing up to a restaurant and they're like, here's your seat, here's your plate. And it's your favorite meal, like, or one of your favorite meals.
They already know.
That's what it feels like.
It's very good for retention, promotion.
Right.
And so no one can touch it. But honestly, it's a matter of national security at this point. Not just American national security. It's the world. I don't think people understand the implications of letting China have access to this. I mean, it's I'm not doom and gloom and I'm not tinfoil hat boy.
Yeah.
I'm actually always erring on the side of facts.
Sure.
So you have to prove it to me why it's bad, right? Mm. This is now proof. This is enough.
What they're saying is that if employees sitting in China, which answer directly to the CCP, want access to private U.S. data, people, users' data, they can get it.
Yes.
Yeah, there are a couple of checks that they have to go through, but why not just fabricate those checks? It's super easy. You know how China works?
Yes.
So what they'll do is whatever...
Oh, dude, it's nonsense.
Yeah, whatever it's the nonsense. Requirements are, they'll just find somebody who meets those requirements and then answers directly to the CCP.
This is the layers of absolute fallacy and bullshit that we like to cut through, guys. If China promises something and says that they'll do it, and then American laws are based off of that, and oh, they're doing it fine. Or, oh, yeah, GDP data. Or whatever the figures come out of China. Oh, but China said it's okay.
Yeah.
Then you base your actions off of that. Then you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm never for massive government control or anything. But in this case, when it's a matter of national security, I'm appealing right now to the federal government in the U.S. force ByteDance to sell to an American company.
Yeah.
So, a little prophecy right there. It took 6 months for stuff to begin happening, and finally, we're banning it among government employees.
I
remember way back when Trump was in office, he was trying to ban it across the board.
Yeah.
That didn't play out.
No.
Towards the end of his tenure, it seems like everything he was trying to do, the public, response was the opposite. Even if it was something that was maybe on the right track,
right?
Because everybody turned on him at the end. But it took 6 months, and there's stuff happening, and their response is like, "Oh, this is, you know, I read it to you. This is overblown. This is overplayed. You know." It's political theater. It's optics. You know, we're working on getting the data over to America. Like, it's, you know, they're not really going to do anything about it.
I can see internally
at TikTok.
I can see Google flexing their muscles here because they've got deep pockets and they have connections, you know, lobbyists in the government. It wouldn't surprise me if Google really pushes to see TikTok gone by February of next year, because that's when they're going to start monetizing shorts on YouTube, and they will probably see an insane influx of activity. If TikTok gets banned in the U.S., then YouTube shorts,
that's a great point,
is this massive
great point.
So it wouldn't shock me at all if we roll into February and the U.S. government suddenly like, yeah, we've decided we're gonna shove this through fast track, we're gonna ban this application, because man, Google's got power. And whether or not you agree with them flexing that power in this particular instance, it wouldn't shock me in the least, as thinking just economically what that would do for them. Because monetizing short form content is an era that we have never seen. Because you can watch a video right now about 5 minutes long. Usually if you watch a 10-minute video, the average view duration is about 40% of the video. You're going to see one ad, unless that person's nuts and they riddle it, and then usually people leave. So you're typically going to see one ad for every 4 to 5 minutes of entertainment that you're consuming. And if you're able to monetize short-form content where it's a 15 or a 30-second video and there's an ad at the top or the bottom, you know, inlaid in a way that it doesn't interfere with the content, you're talking about taking advertisement impressions and payouts and making it hit a threshold that it's never hit before. That's one of the other reasons that this is becoming such a looked at thing, is the consumption of media at that rate. The money that could be made is astronomical. We have not yet seen an era
transform our economy.
Yeah, it could transform the digital space, because I think that's why Elon wants to bring back Vine, and he wants to monetize short form content on Twitter, because I think he sees the same thing. Anybody that looks at a user base of this size and content that's consumed at this rate, they're all thinking the same thing: how can we make money off of that? Because that's absurd. Mm-hmm. That's absurd user interaction. So there's about a minute left of this video.
You don't have to stop the app. You don't have to stop the app at all. If TikTok wants to operate in America, force it to sell to an American company with American user data here in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's it. That's as simple as that.
Easy. The Chinese Communist Party should not be accessing private
Cut
U.S.
It off.
Data.
No. No.
And employees in ByteDance in China should not be accessing private American user data anyway. There's no reason for it.
Done.
This TikTok is a freaking stupid-ass thing where kids dance around and do pranks or whatever crap they do.
Yes.
That's fine. So why does an employee that's working and connected to the Chinese Communist Party accessing somebody's user data? They should never, ever have to do that under no circumstances.
This has nothing to do with partisan politics. Don't bring anything like that into it. This is national security.
Yeah.
This is a unified problem that everyone is facing right now with personal data going to China, and that's wrong.
Yeah, it's just like they stole all the pregnancy DNA.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Right.
Yeah.
And that is that. That's the end of the video. That's a sample from them. Again, check out the link below if you want to check them out. I'd be interested to see how they handle user data. Like, what do other countries do when they make a Facebook or something? How is all that handled? I don't know. I don't know how do they do that.
Great question. I'm the wrong guy to ask on that one for certain. But we've reached the end of this first segment, the flyover. And our ultimate goal here, obviously, and always, is to take a piece of content or an idea or an article or a topic, and let's explore it in a way that attempts to shed some different light on it than what else is going on out there, you know, on YouTube and in the podcast universe. And we bring it back to the hypocrisy angle. We're all hypocrites when it comes to this stuff because we all participate, at least to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a TikTok account personally or for my business endeavors, but we advertise on there. We market on there. And as far as Ceasefire goes, we're posting shorts that are coming from TikTok. So there are elements of hypocrisy here. We're participating in the downfall of society.
Well, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. We should discuss. That's what the next segment should be about. Because
do we get off Facebook? Do we get off Twitter? Do we get off Instagram? Do we get off? You know, TikTok is kind of the lowest hanging fruit now in terms of the social media conspiracy. They're stealing our data. And you said the hypocrisy here is this. I mean, we're all kind of vaguely aware of it. We're willing to at least roll the dice. We don't know what these companies are going to do with our stuff once we sign up and engage their platform. We don't care. And we're going to talk about the why we don't care in the next segment. I can't wait to get into that because you mentioned human nature, our souls, our collective soul as well. And there are so many interesting angles to look deeper at when it comes to analyzing this. But if nothing else, hopefully this initial discussion will warrant you to take another critical look at your relationship with tech, with your smartphone, with social media, with apps, with TikTok, whether you're on there or not. You know, TikTok again is just one of many apps that kind of all are in the same game. They all exist to take our data and to monetize it.
And I know, people. The reason the answer in this question is so difficult is because I know people who have just completely been like, nobody should be on those platforms. I'm not on those platforms. Like, they don't have an account. And it's like, does your disengagement achieve anything?
No,
I'm not trying to be like a cynic or like apathetic about it or like, let's just let the chaos reign here. But
the train is still going to go forward, whether you're on the train or not.
Right. What does thoughtful engagement look like? Because disengagement to me feels like indifference. Like, well, I don't want to engage over there because they're going to steal my data and nobody should be on there, and you disengage. But that's inaction. That does nothing at a certain point. So what does thoughtful action look like? What does thoughtful engagement look like? I'm not calling people, oh, you should be on TikTok. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't think it's as simplistic as saying,
you're assuming that people are going to engage with these platforms. Most people that listen to this are still going to engage. We're not going to incite a movement of people to just get off of every platform, because then nobody listens to us either.
Correct. And
we're within the machine trying to operate inside of it.
Right. And it's all about being a redemptive force, not a retreating force. That's my mindset on it. Can we have a redemptive effect on platforms like this and social spaces like this instead of a retreating force? Of like, if all of the good thinking it doesn't have to be Christians, but like I'm just thinking of our own tribe. I'm like, if all the good thinking Christians of the world just abandon these platforms, does that achieve anything at all?
Because
there's really good content on TikTok. I've seen some amazing videos about truth and just good philosophical discussions, and I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy power. It's like a superpower that properly channeled can probably do a lot of good. But we got to get into the next segment to chop this up. And if you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening on Spotify or whatever, we don't have the ability to give you this segment anywhere else but Patreon right now. So ceasefirepodcast.com. Once we're monetized on YouTube, we'll be able to offer memberships, which will function in the same way. But for now, you got to head to ceasefirepodcast.com. That's our Patreon, and the links are below. And we'll see you on the other side if you're one of those people in the next segment, which we call The Trenches. We're diving deeper on this one. We'll see you over there.